May God be pleased to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, and we'll read the last three verses. Verses 28, 29 and 30 in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. These are the words of Jesus. The whole Bible is really the words of Jesus. And earlier in this chapter, this 11th chapter, which we read together this morning, Jesus asks the multitude a very important question. They were there, they'd come, and he asked them this question: what went ye out for to see? He asked it three times. He didn't want them to not appreciate the importance of the question. And I suppose we could ask a question slightly differently this morning as to what have you come here this morning for? Perhaps we might need to repeat it three times so that you actually hear what the question is, and then to be able to answer the question appropriately before God. Because it's not just a question of coming here because it's Sunday morning. It's not just coming here to appease our conscience because we think we're doing something which is right. It's not coming here this morning to please our friends. The real reason should be that we've come here this morning to hear what God, the Lord, speaks to our souls. And that's not just for old people. It's for all of us. You know, you children here this morning, don't think that the preaching is only for old people. It's for all of us, young and old. And we pray, therefore, that all of us may hear what Jesus speaks of later in this chapter. He speaks and says this: he that hath ears, let him hear. Well, all of us here have ears. And all of us can hear, perhaps not all perfectly, but we can all hear. And what a blessing it is, therefore, if we hear with those spiritual ears and hear the truth of God. That it's not just mere words, but we come here to hear what God will speak to our souls this morning. And what that really means is that we have a hunger and we have a thirst after the truth of God. We have a hunger and thirst after spiritual food, and that is absolutely essential. We're all hungry. We get up in the morning, we're hungry, we want breakfast. We eat during the day, and we appreciate the food we have. But I wonder this morning how many of you woke up with a hunger the things of God, whether your first thoughts were to pray that God would bless your soul. Because this is the important thing. And just to put it in context, because we do need sometimes to put things in context, don't we? You see, you eat your food naturally, and it lasts and it keeps you alive for a bit, doesn't it? Perhaps a day, it might even keep you alive for a week, it might even keep you alive for a month or a bit longer, but in the end, that food naturally you've had won't keep you alive physically. The difference is, if God gives you and me spiritual food, it is an eternal food. It's not something which will just then vanish away. We must perhaps sometimes forget about it so far, but the effect and the influence should remain with us. And it is therefore so much more important to receive spiritual food. Now, when you come to the end of the day and look back, would you be able to say, well, today I did receive spiritual food for my soul? And if you did, you would have cause to praise God. Perhaps we look back in our lives and we've eaten much physically and kept ourselves alive. How much have we fed spiritually? We come here this morning to hear the word of God. And as the Lord says, what have we come for? What have we come for? Well, no doubt many of us have wasted, I suppose all of us have wasted many occasions when we've come to hear the preaching of the gospel and we've never heard it. We've never remembered it. There's never been any food for us. It's left us in a barren and hard state. Well, today may it be different. May we be a different people. May we be a concerned people to receive the great and glorious word of God. You know, Jesus said these beautiful words: the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Well, what a wonderful thing that is. And then he says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Well, you and I know if we've been offended with the name of Jesus, if we've never wanted to acknowledge the name of Jesus, and we've been offended, well, what a blessing it is if we now, today, are not offended. But we love to hear the truth of God, and we rejoice in the glorious gospel. Well, these words of Jesus then will be very suitable and very appropriate to us this morning. We have some wonderful words in the Bible of gracious invitation. And my friends, don't turn away from them. Recognize that they may have a direct direction into our hearts even today. And therefore these words that we read together are the words of Jesus. And these three verses can be separated, you might say dissected, into different phrases. And each phrase really follows on one from the other. And the first phrase is, come unto me. Now that's something that the Lord speaks. Come unto me. We're not deaf, are we? Thankfully this morning we can hear that word. Come unto me. It's a very gracious and it's a very wonderful invitation. We don't want to turn away from it. We don't want to say, well, that's not me. I hope it is you. Come unto me. And it qualifies those who are to come. It's always important to read the context of the Word of God. And not just take a word out of context. It's very dangerous. I've heard some preachers take a word out of context. It's absolutely wrong. You should never do that. You should take a word and the context. The relevance is important. And so it is here today. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. That means burdened. We're burdened. And the words here are not addressed to us in a physical way. And you may say, well, how do you know that? I know that because the 29th verse says, ye shall find rest unto your souls. Therefore, this is a spiritual statement to our very soul. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. And we may therefore be labouring and are heavy burdened. And why? What will that reference us to? It's very clear that the soul is burdened with sin. That's what drags us down. Burden. Labour under the attacks of Satan. He is a great adversary. He is a great enemy. The devil is the greatest enemy that you and I ever will face. And his concern is to destroy our soul. That's his concern. And he never gives up this side of the grave. The devil never gives up. So this morning, if you're sat here and you're saying, well, I don't understand this, I'm not labouring, I'm not burdened with any sin at all, well, you should question then whether you have any life at all. You question whether you possess the blessing of God. Because to the true believer is burdened. The true believer is heavy laden, because we find ourselves so often doing those things that we really don't want to do and thinking those things that we don't want to say. And we have, of course, a wonderful testimony of the Apostle Paul. He was a great man of God, wasn't he? But he was a human being. And he walked the same earth as you and I walk. And he faced the same temptations that you and I do. And he explains to us something of what it was to walk this path. And in the 7th of Romans, he enumerates something of these difficulties. And he says, for I know that, the 18th verse of the 7th chapter, for I know that, 17th verse, rather, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You see the conflict there that this man explains to us. And it's good therefore to be able to trace out in our spiritual life the conflict, because it is an evidence that we are one who Satan is endeavouring to get his hands upon. He's endeavouring to destroy us. Well, says Paul, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's his innermost nature. That is new nature that God's given. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. It's a tough path to be captivated to the law of sin. The devil wants us to be captivated by it. He wants us to be engaged in it, involved in it, encompassed in it, so that we don't find any time for the things of God. He wants our minds to be enveloped in the poor things of this vain world. And so, what does it do? The apostle hits it on the head, doesn't he? He says it brings him into captivity. If you're a captive, if you're in prison, you can't get yourself out, can you? Prisoners can't. Normally, they can't get themselves out. The gates are locked, they're chained in there often. They can't free themselves. And that's just the same to our spiritual life. We are a captive. We cannot free ourselves. But that's why we have such a glorious word that we have before us today. Come unto me. Look to Jesus. The prophet Isaiah has it right as well. Look unto me. Nowhere else. Don't look to a man. Don't look to books. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. There is no other way. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. So if you're a captive by the devil, and you will have been, or you are, or you will be, because all are captive by the devil, and it's only the great blessing of the Saviour to free us from that captivity. Captive. And then the apostle comes and he tells us, you see, the word of God never leaves us in a vacuum. It never leaves us, as it were, in a dead end. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. And here is light in these words. And the apostle goes on to say, he explains what he feels to be like. Very simple words. He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He asks the question, and he answers the question. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how he will be delivered. That's how you and I will be delivered. That's how you and I will be blessed. To come unto me, unto the Saviour. And then he says, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There's the battle between the flesh and the spirit. But bless God, if you know the battle, and if you know the solution, and you hear the gracious invitation, come unto me. And he goes on with these glorious words. Remember, of course, in the original, there were no chapters, no verses. It just followed on. And it follows on in this way. There is therefore now, today, there is therefore now no condemnation. That's a very precise and accurate statement, isn't it? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, what a blessing it is today if you and I have the evidence that we are therefore under no condemnation. Come unto me. What good gospel words these will be. These are the words of the Saviour addressed to those who are labouring, to those who are burdened with this heavy burden of sin. And the result, the answer, if we come to Jesus, what will be the result? It's here. I will give you rest. Rest. You know, when we're labouring, when we're burdened, when we're heavy laden, we struggle on, don't we? There's no rest. But there is rest in Christ. Why? Because there's rest in his finished work. And that finished work was simply this: the Lord Jesus conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. And the devil can't stand against the great truth of the gospel. Doesn't say any other way. He says, I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus himself. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful to think? Almighty God himself says to you and me, unworthy sinners who walked contrary to God, walked in an opposite direction, he now says, I will give you rest. And this rest centers in this: peace with God. Peace with God. There's the rest. Peace with God. The hymn writer has it right. Peace by his cross has Jesus made. That's where peace is. As you and I come to the cross, to the Lord Jesus Christ, come unto me, as we view the Saviour suffering upon that cross to take away our sins, there's peace. There's peace to be found. And all of us need to receive this peace. And all of us need to enjoy this peace. And all of us need to know this peace. Because it is to be known. It is to be realised. And it is not something which is not obtainable. It's because, you see, people struggle on. Struggle on relying upon their own strength. There's no strength in ourselves. There's no strength in ourselves. And that's why we have such a wonderful statement like this morning. Come unto me, all ye that labour. You see, everyone is included. No one omitted. All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest to realise we're resting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not resting in ourselves. We're not resting in our own ability. We're not resting in what we've done, what we've said. No. Because we will find that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. They're of no value. But you see, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus. Jesus and his righteousness. So this morning, my friends, let's look at ourselves. Let's ask ourselves the question, where is our hope? Where is our rest? Is it in what Christ has done? Or is it in what we've done? Or aren't concerned? Perhaps we're not labouring. Perhaps we're not burdened. Perhaps we're just carrying on aimlessly in this world, just satisfied with what this world can offer. Well, as I said in prayer, and as Solomon tells us, all is vanity of vanity and vexation of spirit. There is nothing really satisfying in this world. We, of course, always try and find some comfort and satisfaction in time. But the only true rest, the only true peace is to be found in what Christ has done, and then to have that work applied to our hearts with power from on high, the blessed application of the Spirit of God, so that we enjoy this spiritual rest which God gives. I will give you rest. And then the Lord comes on and he moves on to this statement. He says, take my yoke upon you. Well, I hope you know what a yoke is, you young people. If you don't know what a yoke is, it's that which We can see, not in our country really, but in other countries, we can see animals, oxen, or yokes together. And that means they can't walk in a different direction. If they're pulling a plough or something like that, then they walk together. They walk basically in step. They're not separated. And that yoke ties them together. Now the Lord says here, take my yoke upon you. Do you want to be tied to Christ or not? Many people today don't want to be tied to Christ. They want to hold him a little bit away, arm's length. They want to have a religion where Christ is not yoked to them, that they're not yoked to Christ. They want to be a little bit away, so they're not too involved, and they can get away a bit if they want to. So when you come down to die, do you want Christ to be a long way away? The Lord says, gracious words, aren't they? Take my yoke upon you. What's your reaction to such a statement this morning? You say, well, I don't think so. Let me tell you this. If you come under the 28th verse, that you are labour and you are heavy laden, you want to be able to share this load. You want to be able to share this burden. But if you are yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be able to. Because you better tell him the difficulty, the problems. And he understands, of course. He knows about you. He knows everything. He knows the path you're taking. But you see, you're close to him. And he'll help you. And he'll strengthen you. And he'll support you. And he'll share the load. Isn't that wonderful? To be yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ is the most blessed path. Many people don't want to be. They don't want to get too close. What a mercy of the Lord draws you to the Saviour. It draws me to the Saviour with this real desire. Take my yoke upon you. And the result, the Lord tells us, and learn of me. You perhaps say sometimes, well, I want to learn about the things of God. I want to learn about Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't want to be yoked to him. That's a bit too tough. That's a bit too difficult. That's a bit too close. That's a bit too difficult. No, it's not. Don't expect to learn of the Lord and to be unyoked. Because these two are linked together. And you and I should never separate the truth of God's word. What a cheek, isn't it, to think that you and I can separate the word of God and put our own interpretation on it. Here is the glorious truth of God's word. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That'll be a wonderful experience. And it won't be something that you'll lose. Yes, because if God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, God will be with you. He'll be there to help you in the battles of life, which there will be. He'll be there to help you to bring to your mind scriptures to resist the devil, that he might flee from you. If you're not yoked to the Saviour, how can you expect this favour? He says, come unto me. He says, take my yoke upon you. They're not separate, they're joined. They're linked together. Don't separate the word of God. Don't operate under your own thoughts, your own mind. Take the word of God as it is. It's there for our encouragement. It's there for our blessing. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then he tells us of himself. This is glorious. This is wonderful. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, He comes down to our level. He understands us. Yes, although he's high and lifted up and a great almighty God, he graciously condescends to come and to be to us meek and lowly. That means he understands all about us. Yes, he comes right down to where we are. We might feel to be very low. That's all right. The Lord comes there. What a mercy to have such a Saviour like this. I am meek and lowly in heart. And remember, spiritual religion is the religion of the heart. It's not outward, it's inward. It's between your soul and God. But it's real and it's true. And what a mercy when the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you realize that you are united, you're yoked to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're being taught by him. He's leading you in those good, right, gracious paths, preparing you for your eternal home. I am meek and lowly in heart. And then he says again, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says previously, and I will give you rest. And here he says, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That's a wonderful promise. A wonderful promise. But we cannot expect to enjoy the promise if we have turned our back upon God, if we've distanced ourselves from the Saviour, and if we've said really, well, no, that's just too costly for me. I'm just not prepared to go that far. I'm not prepared to take my yoke, take the Lord's yoke upon myself. I'm not prepared to be yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people, my friends, say that. Many people have said it. It's a very sad scenario. What a blessing it is then today if you and I are blessed with that humble obedience. You know, we read a lot, don't we, about obedience in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And often we think we're being obedient. In actual fact, often we're being disobedient. What a blessing when the Holy Spirit, in love to our soul, shows us where we are and what we're doing. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. And then he concludes with these words of great encouragement. For my yoke is easy. You see, there you were thinking it was going to be hard work. There you were thinking it was going to be difficult. It's going to be a great test, a great trial. No, says the Lord, but my yoke is easy. It's not hard. It's easy. And many of us have proved it. And many of us are thankful for the grace given to take the blessed yoke of the Saviour upon us and to be yoked with him and to walk with him. My friends, there's no more blessed place and to be walking with the Saviour. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's burden is light. It's not a heavy burden because it's shared with the Saviour in any event. And therefore, he gives us sometimes a burden just to keep us down, just to keep us, give a balance. What a mercy it is that the Lord deals with us in love to our souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now this is the word of God. My friend, let us not disagree with it. Let us thank God for it. This morning, let us bless God for such a wonderful gospel. So for such a wonderful Saviour. And think of this. Why should the Saviour invite such rebels, such sinners as you and me to come to him? Do you know why? I'll tell you. Because he's loved us. Because he's loved us. And that with an everlasting love. Yes, an everlasting love. The love of Christ. How glorious it is. Well, may we know it. And may we enjoy it more and more. And may we rejoice in it more and more. May we praise God for it more and more. And may we be thankful for such a word as this. And hear this word as the very word of God speaking to our very souls for our eternal good and for his great honour and glory. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.